Well, it's a privilege to share God's word with his people, to come together in one accord and to worship our God in spirit and in truth, in what we do and how we pray and how we live our lives and how we sing, that our lives might be a sacrifice, well-pleasing to him through Christ, through the blood of Christ, as we are under the blood of Jesus Christ, and we can praise him that way. God is good, and we ought to fear him for his goodness. All of us who know the Lord would have that experience. All of us who have truly tasted and seen that the Lord is good can say that we fear him in the right way, the right fear of God, because he is good. I've been blessed to be looking at this topic generally, the fear of God. And the first message, it was probably some 5 weeks ago, was that by the fear of God, men depart evil. By the fear of God, men depart evil. And tonight I want to speak on fearing God, for he's good. You know, the right fear of God gives us the right tension in our relationship with God. Having the right fear of God gives us like a bowstring, that right tension in the relationship. It's not flippant. It's not loose or casual. It's real. But also, it's not a dread and an unapproachable dread. In Christ, we can boldly approach the throne of grace. And so with that, let's pray this morning as we open our scriptures to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. Says the opening there, I'll just say a word of prayer. Father, we come to your living word tonight. Father, we thank you that your word is living and it is true. Lord, and I pray tonight we would see with fresh eyes what you're trying to say to us through these passages, Father. I ask this for your name's sake. Amen. Amen. In Mark chapter 5 and reading from verse 25, we read the account of the woman who had the issue of blood. Now, I'd like to read this from the actual King James Version. Just there's a few words in there that I'm more accustomed to, but I'd just like to read it out and then we can break it down. Mark 5:25, and it says, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said to him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said to her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. I wonder, have we experienced the goodness of God? If you're saved, if you're the child of God this morning, you have. I trust we all have. Have we been driven to a fear of this God, Yahweh, because he is so good? Because he is so good. He is not like the gods of the world. He's not like the gods of the earth who are idols. In the Bible we read of the various gods that we had, shapen of clay, shapen of wood and of stone. Today we have different idols. I think there's a show called Australian Idol, isn't there? That's pretty blatant, but if you're involved in that, you don't see that that's an idol. So people make idols of musicians. They actually make it an idol. It's like the handcrafting of the days of those who opposed God. It is like the days of old. There are sportsmen, musicians, and film stars. These are the idols. Men worship, men stand in awe of that which this world offers. You know, so these idols of this world keep people amused and entertained. keep them in a certain level of awe. Or there are authoritarian gods. So we have authoritarian gods like the God of Islam, small g, who is no god at all. You know, God of the Buddhist, God of the Hindu, who you dare not approach, who you dare not be rightly related to. You dare not. And their followers are deceived and captive by means of a dread and a fear. But the right fear of God, the right fear of the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, the God who plainly created all things surrounding us, this God is unmistakably good, beyond compare. Beyond compare. Tonight, I pray that we could draw near to this God. And if there's anything in me or in you that still sees that God is not perfectly good, may that disperse. May that disappear. May we see God, Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as unmistakably, undeniably, perfectly good. God is good. The psalmist said, taste and see that the Lord is good. In Psalm 34, blessed is the man who trusts in him. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Those who have truly experienced his goodness can say that. The prophet Isaiah saw his goodness and he said, I will make mention the loving kindness of the Lord, in Isaiah 63, verse 7. These are men who experienced the God, Yahweh, and saw that he is completely good in all that he does, in all that he does. Whether we understand it or not, he is completely good. And that goodness of God ought to drive us to fear him. I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord has bestowed on us and the great goodness toward the house of Israel. Have you experienced the great and exceeding goodness of the Lord toward you, which he has bestowed on them according to his mercies, according to the multitude of his loving kindness? And Hosea also, in Hosea 3:5, afterward the children of Israel shall return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. They shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. They shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. Every other god with a small g is not good. He alone, Yahweh, is exceedingly, exceedingly good. And I want to just bring out Mark chapter 5 tonight and then look at a few aspects of the goodness of God that ought to cause us to fear him. Now, this woman feared God. She feared God. We read in Mark 5:25 that the woman had an issue of blood 12 years. Can you consider this evening the shame and the pain of having such a condition? A condition, an issue of blood. She says that she spent her whole living trying to be healed, to be made whole of this plague. She was afflicted. She suffered many things of many physicians. The physicians couldn't help her. We read also of this account in the Gospel of Luke. She had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. Consider this for a moment. An issue of blood in that day and age for 12 years and spending all her living to try and be whole, to be made whole as the next person. An impossible situation. This verse speaking of her spending all that she had and that she's nothing bettered by that and going to physician after physician, but rather growing worse. This shows the total impossibility of her situation. The total impossibility. And her situation growing worse. Friend, you cannot better yourself in this world. This makes it clear to me that the more you try and fight, the more, if you're in the plague of sin, the more you try and fight it and better yourself, the worse your condition becomes. That's a subnote there. But this woman, consider her shame, seeking out physician, doctor after doctor, trying to be healed of this disease, yet she could not. When she had heard of Jesus, she comes in behind the press, behind the multitude, in verse 27. She presses in behind and reaching out in desperation, in awe, in fear, in faith. She says, if I only but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. Surely she saw something in this man whom the multitude thronged and pressed around. And she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be whole. Look at her desperation after 12 years of suffering now. She reaches out in desperation and straight away the fountain of her blood is dried up in verse 29. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. That was straight away, instantaneous. Friend, there is no half salvation. Those who come to Christ, those who come in that condition, who come in that state, in desperation, trying to fix their life, trying for years to try and solve their problems, to try and better themselves, the more they find themselves in the rut of sin. But here, in a simple act of faith, she reaches out in desperation, in hope, in faith, and her healing is instant. And her healing is complete. Her healing is complete. She felt in her body that she was fully healed. And those who reach for Christ, friend, tonight, will receive full cleansing, a full cleansing. And Jesus, knowing that virtue, that power had gone out of him, he turns about in the multitude and says, who touched me? Who touched my clothes? He, perceiving that virtue, that power had gone from him. For Christ did nothing of himself. But as he did the Father's will, so he went. And the power of God flowed through and into this woman. The power of the Father of lights, the God of the universe, flowed in to that woman's life. And Jesus knew it. There was a transaction there. And he knew it. And he turns around and says, who touched me? What did that woman experience in that moment? Oh, think of it, friend. What did you experience in the moment you touched his garment? Did you experience a holy awe? Did you experience the goodness of God? The goodness of God. That which you tried to fix in yourself, that which you tried to heal yourself of, was instantly and completely gone in a moment. And in awe for the goodness of God, she had it. She had it. Not just the cleansing, not just the bodily cleansing, but Jesus later said, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Not just a peace that is temporal, but the peace that passes understanding. Friend, have you received healing from God? You know, not in this account, but in the account of Luke, it says, when she's found out, she declared it to all the people. She declared it to all the people. The Lord Jesus turns around. The disciples said, Lord, how can you say who touched you? There is a multitude pressing in and around you. He said, no, but someone touched me. For I perceive, and he said, the virtue had gone out from him. And he looked about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, here she falls at his feet. Verse 33, the woman fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her. Consider those verses. Knowing what was done in her, she came and she fell down before him and told him all the truth. I want to submit to you tonight, friend, that it wasn't for fear of her being found out that she trembled, but for fear and awe of the goodness of God. The goodness of God. Here she comes. Who is this man? Who is this man whom the multitude follows if I just touch his garment? And that instant that she did, she experienced the overwhelming, complete power of God. She is made whole. And she stopped in her tracks. And now those around her, those around the Lord Jesus said, "Who? How can you say who touched me?" And yet he knew that someone reached out in faith. And the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and declared before all the people, we have in Luke's account of the Gospels. She boldly professed, she boldly declared God had a purpose in this cleansing. The woman who experienced the goodness of a good God was there to declare to all the people what God had done in her and give glory to the one who came in God's name, in the Father's name. She, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her. Friends, if you've been saved, if you've experienced salvation, God wants you to declare it. He wants you to declare it. If you've experienced this salvation, he does not want you to be in the crowd, in the press, in the throng. But Jesus had a purpose in bringing her forth that she might declare the salvation of God, the goodness of God, the power of God. If you've been saved, friend, God wants you to declare his salvation. Does not want you to withhold it. We're not to withhold in these short years of life his salvation, his goodness. This woman was there as an example of what Christ would do with her, bringing her before the multitude. And when she had confessed with her mouth before all the people and declared what was done in her, the Lord sent her on her way. The Lord Jesus wants us to declare his salvation. He wants us also in the church, I believe, to declare healing. If God has healed you, if God has physically touched you, if you've been praying, you've had an ailment, you've had a sickness, you've had a battle, and you've been praying, and God has touched your physical body and has healed you, declare that to the church. Declare that to all the people of God. Testify the goodness of God, the goodness of our God. The Lord Jesus sends her on her way. Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. But I want to focus very specifically tonight on the reaction of this woman. What overcame her? An awe and a fear of a good God. And we, as God's people, we need to fear with godly awe at the goodness of our God. We ought to live in that condition, in that state, day by day. She is mightily cleansed. She would never forget that day. Could you? Could I? Could we? Do we see our sin as vile? Did we see our condition as utterly hopeless and desperate? And all the world's help making our condition worse? Should we not declare? Should we not be amazed continually at the salvation of our Lord? This is something. How can you grow tired of it? How can you grow tired of being saved from a fiery lake of brimstone? How can you, who in your best condition are as vile as a menstruous rag, how can we forget the day? No condemnation now, she dreads. No condemnation now I dread. She is departed in peace. She's made peace with the living God, for her faith has made her whole. And coming to God in brokenness, coming to God in the condition she came, does not lead to rejection. He will never cast away anyone who comes to him, but it leads to a peace that passes understanding. So there we have the account of that woman. I want to add a few reasons why we ought to fear a good God. We ought to fear a good God, for He is just. God is just. You know, this woman was chosen of God. She was chosen of God to declare His salvation and His cleansing, His power. The physicians could not heal, but this man, the Christ, who was just, He was able to justify. He was able to make clean. He was able to make whole. God is just. He is just. And He judges the wicked. And He justifies those in Christ. He will ultimately judge the wicked in their sin if they do not come to Him. Romans 3, 25 and 26 sets it forth, speaking of the Christ, that Christ whom God sent forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. God is just. We ought to fear Him, for He is just. In Romans 2:4, we read of His goodness. In Romans 2:4 says, "Do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance?" Friends, is it not that His goodness led you to repent and to repent and to repent again and to change your mind and to change your life and to change the very course and direction of your life? The goodness of God leads us to repentance. God is just. He will judge the wicked and He justifies the righteous. You know what I'm amazed at most is how God is good toward us. God is good toward us when I least deserve it. That is amazing. When I least deserve it, when I have sinned against His holy name, when I am broken, He gives me a blessing. I can't get over that. I can't get over that. That shatters me. That breaks me. I cry within me, "How can I sin against You, Lord? How can I sin against You?" Can you see that the goodness of God leads to a fear of God? Can you see how it's completely of Him? How it's completely dependent on His goodness and not our goodness. Does that, friend, create in you a holy awe? Does it create in you a holy awe of God that when you fail, He chooses to bless? That is amazing. That gives us not license to sin, but rather reason to fear. I'll say that again. Knowing His goodness will not give us license to sin, but rather reason to fear. Reason to fear. Reason to stand, as Wayne said earlier, in awe and worship. The singing and the words tonight couldn't be more apt. As I was looking through those songs, those words, awe and fear and holiness, they go so together with a God who is good, who is completely good. Romans 11:22 said, "Consider the goodness and severity of God." We're still considering God in His justice, how He is just. "Consider His goodness and severity on those who fell severity, but toward you goodness if you continue in His goodness." That's the mark of saving faith, that you will continue in His goodness. "And he that endures to the end shall be saved." That is the mark, that you'll continue in His goodness. Otherwise, Romans 11:22, you will also be cut off. Last time I broached the subject of the fear of God, we looked at Matthew 10:28, and I'd like to say that again. In Matthew 10:28, the Lord Jesus says, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Won't you fear God for his goodness in saving you, in justifying you? Won't you fear him for his goodness in preserving a day for the wicked? Have you trembled lately in godly fear and considered, what if he didn't save me? What if he didn't? What if I had been hardened, like the heart of Pharaoh? What if I had been hardened to the point of no return, given over to my sin and corruption? Have you considered that? Have you seen the goodness of God in preserving you, in justifying you, and counting you as if you had not sinned? Won't we stand in awe of such a good God? Won't that give us a holy fear that in his goodness he saved us, justified us in Christ? So the goodness of God. God is good, for he is merciful. Point two, God is good, he is merciful. These very much interrelate. But the woman came in her hour of need, in desperation, and God was merciful. God was merciful. God was merciful in putting her in the crowd. God was merciful in having her reach out for him. She was physically and spiritually touched. The moment she reached out, God had mercy on her. The psalmist says, the Lord is merciful and gracious. He is slow to anger and abounding in mercy. Can you see his mercy? Can you see his goodness? Does that give you a holy awe of God? There is no God like him. There is no God like that. This is Yahweh. This is Yahweh we preach. This is him we declare. This is him we can be rightly related to. Joel, the prophet said in Joel 2:13, rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God. He is gracious and what? He is merciful. Gracious and merciful. Slow to anger. There it is again. He is slow to anger. He gives men space to repent. He gives men space to come to him. He is abounding in mercy. The God of Islam is not like that. He is sharp and he cuts down. And there's no hope with a God like he. And it causes the people to stand in a dread and in a fear that drives them from relationship. Not so the God of Israel. Not so the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. A holy fear of him brings us into right relationship with him and causes us to stand in awe and draw near and to worship and to fall at his feet. To fall at his feet as this woman did and give him the honor due his name. Oh, the psalmist said in Psalm 118, let the house of Aaron now say, do you know we're of the house of Aaron? Do you know we're in the lineage of David? Do you know that we are the descendants of Abraham? Oh, friend, won't you fear a good God? Let the house of Aaron now say, his mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord now say, his mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord now say, his mercy endures forever. And further in Psalm 118 and verses 28-29, you are my God and I will praise you. Can you say that tonight? You are my God, I will exalt you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Maybe your experience of God, maybe your upbringing, maybe an element of preaching you were under at some point in your life. Maybe that's given you the wrong view of God. Maybe how you interpreted life circumstances gave you a wrong picture. Won't you see in His Word tonight that He is good? There is no shade of grey in Him. There is no darkness. He is the God of light. And give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endures forever. Because of that mercy, we are to fear. We are to come to a place of holy awe. The woman experienced His mercy on that day. And the sum of all emotions and all that fell through her, all the power of God making her whole, produced a godly reverence as she came at His feet. So the goodness of God, that He is just, that He is merciful, ought to give us a response of that godly fear of awe. And thirdly, God is good, for He sends in peace. He sends in peace. The woman was sent out not just in a temporal peace, but in an everlasting peace. God is sending her forth. Thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace. Those who come to God will find that a good God gives peace. And as we heard this morning, contentment. Friend, won't you taste and see that the Lord is good? He gives us a vision to live, a hope and a future, an eternity with Him. In John 14, the Lord Jesus declares, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give unto you." The world can't give it to you. "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Do not fear. Do not fear. You know, this woman, spending all she had on physicians and only getting worse. Oh, friend, that's the state of a heart that tries to drink from the fountain of this world, from the streams of this world. There is no contentment in them, as we heard this morning. There is no peace. There is no peace to the wicked, says the Lord. There is no peace. "My peace I give to you," the Lord Jesus declares. Won't you fear God tonight, that you're at peace if you're His child, and those around you in your workplace, in your schools, in your universities are troubled and distressed in their souls? They are. They are. No matter what the facade, in their souls they are troubled, they are separated, they are not at peace with the God of the universe. Won't, friends, that drive us to a godly awe and fear? Yes, it will drive us to reach them for Christ. But won't we see day by day as they reject Christ, day by day as they struggle with menstruous rags? I make no apologies. That's what the Bible says. Won't you see what you've been saved from? And won't you stand in awe? I stand in awe of you, says that song. I stand in awe of you. The Lord Jesus in Matthew 11:28 said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you what? I'll give you rest." Rest. That's the peace that passes understanding. That's the rest she received. Finally, my chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. Will we join with the hymn writer in declaring our God is good when our response, our life response, be a holy fear? For He is good. Is God drawing you tonight? Is He drawing your heart to Him? Won't you see that the goodness of God leads us to fear Him, to be rightly related to Him? Won't you reach out and touch Him? Won't you reach out and draw near to Him, to a good God? Peace He leaves with us, an eternity with Him. Won't we stand in holy awe and consider? Friends, this world is in turmoil. They're going after the idols that this world offers. They are going after the gods with a small g. But you, friend, you tonight have come to this house to reach out for the hem of His garment. And I pray He has so worked in your heart that you might see as you go away, meditate on these words. Meditate on the goodness of God. Meditate on His goodness. Won't you see our God is good. We're going to sing a song, The Steadfast Love.